everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
All-Star Weekend. Who else is beginning to think Zion needs to be playing Sunday? Look at last night. What a beast. Bulls in actual China shops like, whoa, man. Whoa, easy. You're wrecking everything. You're going too hard. You're going to mess up all this stuff. What? We start with Clippers Celtics last night. This was a game. This Lou Williams shot here. Is this a 4-point play like the Clippers thought and wanted it to be? Or did the refs get this right when they said Hayward fouled before? Because that's huge in a game that needed double overtime. Celtics 141, Clippers 133. Plasky, it's a question we ask weekly in the NBA and NFL and every other sport. Did they get hosed? Go ahead.
Yes, they got hosed. The referees had decided before the play even started, because the Celtics had a foul to give, they're going to call it on a non-shooting foul.
Well, that's part of
it. But Hayward waited too late. He fouled him during the act of shooting. It would have been a 4-point play. Clippers would have had a 1-point lead, 24 seconds left. It could have decided the game. And you have to wonder, Tony, in the back of their minds, and I've been around Doc Rivers' this team for several years, his teams argue with the referees all the time. They get in trouble with officials all the time. You got to wonder, in the back of their mind, they're not giving the Clippers any break.
Here we go. Because the man in L.A.
I'm serious.
I know you're serious. All right. Woody Page, how serious are you? I know you're not serious.
Yeah. And they just added to it, Bill, by Paul George saying home cooking and got fined on the, and they read that before the game started. But the officials shouldn't be anticipating calls. And that's what they were doing. They knew that, that they had a foul to give. And so that's why the referee came over and said, you know, that happened beforehand. Anybody looking at that live as we were doing knows that was a foul. However, I would say, Bill, that the Clippers did score a 3-pointer to tie it up. So you got to put the blame on them that they couldn't finish
just
the game.
Just to tie it. They would have taken the lead. They would have had the lead, Woody.
Jim Kalischer, you want to weigh in here?
Yeah, I do. And I hate to reduce a 58-minute basketball game that had 270-some points to one call, but it was an enormous call. And I think when Clippers fans heard the announcers say, Scott Foster is sorting things out, they kind of panicked. They go, this isn't going to go well. And it didn't go well. And, you know, we see so many plays in the NBA where a guy reaches in and then the guy takes two giant steps and shoots, and that's considered part of the shooting motion. This was right when Lou Williams was getting ready to go up. I think it had to be a shooting
foul. Emily Kaplan.
I found this to be a little rich, actually rich, on the same day that Paul George was fined $35,000 for saying that the refs were against them. Literally in the last game, the NBA is not conspiring against a team from Los Angeles with stars like Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in the lineup. Was it a questionable call? Yes. But luckily, the NBA, unlike the sport I cover, hockey, has a rule where after the first overtime, they don't play a game of horse. They actually get to play a second overtime. And the Celtics outplay them in the second overtime, and that is why the Clippers lost.
All right. Flashkey on this Clippers team right now. Now, George, hurt again, all right? Is this injury problem that they have, load management situation they have, are we going to get enough reps with this team as presently constituted going into the playoffs?
I think it's an issue. People are going to say, well, PG will be back for the playoffs. That's fine. He and Kawhi have played just 24 of the 55 games together. They have not played together enough to have chemistry. When you don't have chemistry, that's what gets you through a 7-game series. I wonder about this. I wonder if he can come back in time. I wonder if they can play together enough to be enough of a team. That was the Clippers' hallmark last year, was that they were a team. They play as a team. Without PG, they're not a
Woody,
team.
Woody, do you share Bill's concerns?
Shush, Bill. I mean, you're worrying, you're panicking, you're putting down what the possibilities are. As long as this team gets together for the playoffs, we saw the Cavaliers years ago when they had all those injuries and they ended up winning the NBA championship. They finally pulled it together before the playoffs. I just think that's what's going to happen. Paul George knows how to play with Kawhi. They have had the injury problems.
Yeah, Woody, I understand you're saying that, but they've only been on the court 40% of the time together. Tim Kalishaw, George's injury last night. I mean, maybe it's not serious, but the idea they haven't played together.
Yeah, I'm going to go with mild concern at the most here. I know Paul George had one major injury in his career. The rest of his career, he plays most of the time. I don't think he's an injury-prone player. Playoffs won't be back-to-back nights. And when they have been together, we've seen them beat the Lakers twice. That's what their season is going to come down to. I don't want to dismiss Utah and Denver or a team
I don't
Dallas,
want to dismiss
else,
the Boston Celtics but either. Did. But Emily, real quick on George and this injury issue and the amount of time they have on the court together.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about it because this felt precautionary. They pulled him at halftime of the game right before the All-Star break. They've already used 27 unique lineups this year, which is tied for first in the NBA, and they're still comfortably in a playoff spot. So when you've got guys coming off the bench like Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams combining for nearly 60 points, you're in pretty good shape.
Celtics look to be in pretty good shape right now. The team we saw last night on the court, is that the type of team they make a run at the Bucks? Emily Kaplan, you want to answer that?
Yeah, I think they could because all of their starters played terrific, especially Jason Tatum, who was like a star in that game. He was, driving points, drawing fouls. He was playing against Kawhi Leonard as his primary defender and also limited Kawhi Leonard to 1-for-7 shooting in fourth quarter and overtime. So if Jason Tatum keeps going like that, they're the team
TC? To beat.
If you had told Brad Stevens a couple years ago, you're going to have a big game and Marcus Smart is going to take 14 three-pointers, he would have gone into a complete panic. But this is a player who was always a good defender, always a hard worker, but he's made himself into a 36% three-point shooter. That gives them another weapon, and they may have all the weapons they need.
All right, it's All-Star Weekend. I want to segue into the weekend now with this story. The NBA selected Devin Booker to replace Damian Lillard in the All-Star. We know that. That makes total sense. It's fine. However, just look at Zion last night. Look with your eyes, national panel, at this. He's the first rookie stat every night of his first rookie career. Tim Kalishaw, if this game is about what people want to see, wouldn't you want to see Zion on Sunday?
We don't need to just anoint him this quickly. He's played 10 games. Emily's been here. She's won 5 shows. Do we put her in the Around the Horn Hall of Fame? I think we wait a while. Do we even have a Hall of Fame? That's something else to discuss. But, no, I mean, you got Bradley Beal averaging, you don't have to be East-West. That doesn't matter. He's averaging 29 points. You know who I'd put in? Lou Williams. Best sixth man in the league. He's never going to make it. But look what he does for the Clippers night after night.
So you take issue with someone playing 10 games being worthy of this enormous exhibition we call the All-Star Game. Woody Page, how about you?
Jim, it's the All-Star Game. You could ask our viewers, ask millions of viewers, say, who would you rather see in the All-Star Game, Zion or Bradley Beal? And I mean, try the veal.
Well, that's not fair.
Not at all. You got the Rolling Stones coming to Dallas on their next tour. Do you really want to see them if Mick Jagger's not in the lineup? You won't go, Tim. So I want to see Zion. He is playing out of his mind right now, and we want to see him play whack-a-mole in the All-Star game, too.
Bill Plaschke?
Yeah, Tim, he's the first rookie to have eight times at 20 points or more in 8 of his first 10 games since Michael Jordan, who played in Chicago. The whole All-Star game is not about the game at all. It's about the All-Stars. He's one of the biggest stars there is. There's going to be gymnasts on that floor. There's going to be chefs. There's going to be rappers running around that floor. There's no room for Zion Williamson in an All-Star.
Well, now you're mixing up the celebrity game with the actual. He's going to be part of the Rising Stars game. We know this. But I'm just saying on Sunday, Emily, the idea is the All-Star game is what fans want to see. Wouldn't you want to see Zion on Sunday?
Yeah, the NBA is the best of the professional sports leagues at promoting its stars. Nobody's having a bigger star moment than Zion Williamson right now. Like, honestly, if you look at what's going on here. We need to be celebrating him, and we need to be putting him out there.
Yeah. Well, he's certainly being celebrated by Bill Plaschke now that he's compared him to Quavo or anything. Dunk contest lineup. Dwight Howard, Aaron Gordon, Derrick Jones Jr., Pat Connaughton. Three-point contest has new rules, and Trae Young, Buddy Hield, Devin Booker to beat it. The Skills has defending champ Jason Tatum. And what Wilbon's going to be wearing tonight coaching the celebrity game, there's a lot to gird your loins about for this weekend, but also the game, the Kobe tribute, with how they're going to change the quarters and the scoring and how this game ends up. What are you most intrigued by?
Well, I'm intrigued by Wilbon and what he's going to wear, and I hope that Bob Lyon gets that opportunity next year. But in regard to 3-point contests, okay, they're going to shoot 30-foot. No, it's all about the scoring. I want to see how this system works and if it actually could be a part of the G League or maybe the NBA in the future, because we always talk about the game doesn't mean anything until the fourth quarter. Well, let's find out when they race all the scores and see what happens in the fourth quarter. That intrigues me how it's going to work out. Who's going to be playing in the fourth quarter? Will it be the starters?
Bill Plaschke?
Yes, I want to see the fourth quarter, the way it's going to end. It's never been like this before, and it's for the first one to a certain point. There's going to be untimed. There'll be no commercials. It'll just be like playground basketball. It'll be tremendous. There won't be any fouling. There won't be any of that stuff. It'll just be two teams trying to reach one goal. I think that's great. I'm fascinated. And it could. Woody's right. This could lead to something, a change in the NBA. I think this could work.
When did you start working in marketing, Bill Plaschke? Two teams reaching one goal. Yes, of course. Emily Kaplan?
I don't care about what Mike Wilbon's wearing. I want to know if his celebrity team with Hannibal Buress and Comet are going to tuck in their jerseys to honor their coach.
Tim Kalishaw, how about you?
What is wrong with Bill and Woody? What is so fascinating? We're playing to 24 or 24 plus whatever this team needs.
Yeah.
It's like the playground.
It's like the
playground because you don't have a clock on the playground. If you had a clock, you'd use it.
Yeah.
There's nothing fascinating.
I don't know if
you would.
Yeah. Anyone who want to make a prediction for MVP of any of the games, now that I know Plaschke's monitoring Jose Andreas in the celebrity game, any MVPs? Just yell them out.
Bad Bunny.
LeBron.
Good pick, Plaschke. You know what, Plaschke? That's a mute for you, too. You're getting on LeBron's good side. We're taking a break here. Buy ourselves
bad,
next.
Bad Bunny.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Domino's. Try our new and improved tracker with GPS-enabled delivery alerts. Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
I thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us.
Woo! Look at that. I mean, if he was on this show, Cody Bellinger, you'll get his points for now. I mean, this is not going away. Cody Bellinger, very pointed in his criticism there, Bill Plaschke. How do you think Commissioner Rob Manfred hears that from the reigning MVP of the National League?
He should start listening to them. I mean, I wrote it. They did steal the ring from them. I think everyone is mad that if the MVP is saying it, you know, most of the rest of the league is feeling it and thinking about it. Manfred needs to think about this and realize he should have vacated that World Series championship. That's his mistake.
Do you think he can go back and do that? Has that?
Yes, I think he can. What's to stop him from doing it? Everyone thinks he should do it. That would change all the narrative of everything.
Whoa, this changes a little bit of your score by using that banned word there. Woody Page, how about you?
I'm buying everything he said. I mean, after we heard the Astros yesterday with their lame, weak arguments and apologies for the other players, including the MVP, to come out and just call them out like this, I think is special. And the commissioner should be responding to them. He should take away that title, and he should try and penalize the Astros even more.
Okay, so now I've got two. We're 2 months into the scandal now, Tim Kalishaw. Can the commissioner go back on his report and say, you know what, I've changed my mind, I'm listening to the players of this league, and we are going to, in fact, strip the World Series title?
I don't think he can. I think he messed it up. I agree with everything Bellinger said. I don't think he can go back and say, okay, now we're going to take titles and MVP awards away. I think those are obviously forever tainted. When AJ Hinch said you know, you can't even, he can't even say the World Series isn't tainted. I think we all know it is, but you can't take it
and
away.
Emily?
Well, I think that he listens to Cody Bellinger say he stole our rings and thinks he sounds like Frodo Baggins, to be quite honest with you. But I do think that he sounds like a lot of the players right now are probably really angry that the punishment wasn't adequate enough and the apologies especially weren't adequate enough. And yeah, this is 2 months later and it's still lingering and it's going to continue to linger.
Buy or sell two. Miles Garrett with Armina Kimes.
What did he say to you?
I mean, he called me the N-word. He called me a stupid N-word. I don't like, man, I don't say the N-word.
That interview in full tomorrow on OTL. NFL said in November they found no such evidence. Woody Page, how do you hear Garrett again saying there was a racial slur?
Well, the way I hear him in that interview, he sounded very genuine. He wasn't outraged. He was just, I think, talking in a normal voice about it. It's an interesting interview. But in regard to any action being taken, if there is no video proof or audio proof whatsoever, he's just got to get over it and move on and try and repair his relationship. He had three incidents last season of attacking quarterbacks and players on other teams, so he needs to work on himself now.
Tim Kalisha?
Yeah, it's hard for me to tell Myles Garrett what he should do or what he shouldn't bring up, but the thing is, when this came up before, it was in a meeting that he had with the league office, and after the news leaked out, he said he didn't know that information was going to get out, as if he didn't want it out. And now he's bringing it up again as if he wants to further this story, when I think everybody's really just ready to have him back and move on and put it in the past.
Like happened.
Right. I think we're never going to find out whether the N-word was said or not. But as Tim mentioned, he was upset that it came out in those initial meetings. And then he told Mina, I didn't want it out there because I didn't want it to justify his actions. But then he literally says it again to justify his actions. This isn't helping him in the court of public opinion.
And Bill Plaschke.
Yeah, no, this is such a damaging thing. It's such a serious charge. I'd like to see some proof. For him to keep saying this over and over and over again, this is really serious, and it's a horrible thing if that actually happened. There's got to be proof somewhere. Somebody.
Well, when we went back and looked at it 2 months ago when the story first came up, we listened for audio before plays when Mason Rudolph was at the line, and we heard it in previous plays, but not the play in question. At that point, there was no hut-hut hike, no nothing from Mason Rudolph. There was no audio on the game telecast. We'll move on. Buy or sell three, NFL Combine. Adam Schefter reporting, two teams will not send assistant coaches to the Combine. Any guesses which two teams?
Yeah, Rams and Broncos.
Yes, exactly right, Bill Plaschke. Cleveland is a good guess, Kalisha. Rams and Broncos. It's Bill's Rams. It's Woody's Broncos. Broncos deciding assistants can stay back and look at film, and Rams won't send their OCs or DCs either. Tim, how do you hear that?
What sort of film do those Broncos coaches want to watch? I hope it's not from last year. I mean, they got 3 months to do this. I don't understand. The Rams coordinator's got to put, you know, next year's playbook together. They treat it like it's the Manhattan Project. Just go coach some football and go to the Combine.
The Manhattan Project. Okay, thank you, Tim Kalisha. Way to skew young with the show. Emily Kaplan, how about you?
I think these teams realize what all of us who cover the NFL realize, and that's that coaches largely treat the combine as a spring break,
yeah, okay,
and that these meetings with prospects are a circus. So yeah, why do you waste your resources
to do
that?
I think the NFL should be worried. This could be the slow beginning to the end of the famousness of the Combine. I think because people watch it. The reason we love the Combine is because we think they're watching it. We think NFL teams and scouts are basing their opinions on it. If they're not showing up, why watch it?
Maybe they're watching it on film, though, and on TV, just like those fans. Woody Page, how about you?
I'm going to start a GoFundMe for the Broncos. Really? Cost-cutting starts with not sending your assistant coaches to Indianapolis. There's a great steak restaurant there. This is like a convention for assistant coaches. They actually get to go somewhere and get to meet the compatriots teams. This makes no sense whatsoever.
Woody, you've got enough points, but you need to stick the landing. What's the name of the steakhouse? We need to know the name of the steakhouse.
You don't know the name of the steakhouse? I'm not going to.
Woody, I don't think you know.
Oh,
all right, Plaschke, Kaplan. Plaschke and Kaplan enough to go away with. Paige, Kalisha, that's how we'll end this week. Two enter,
close,
but only one will leave.
Close.
We'll go down next.
I don't cite brand names on this program.
There's Crispy. And then there's Crispy-er. try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
You just throw the record books out when you get Paige and Kalashaw in showdown. Good luck to you both. He was holding my leg. I was just trying to get him off me. Kick him off me. No penalty called. Zach Cassian's kick of Eric Chernak. Is this a no penalty situation, Woody, here? Or you need some law and order from the NHL?
No, there should be a suspension of at least 3 games because he's a past offender, and you do not hit somebody in the chest with a skate. It makes no sense.
I'm going to say this isn't as bad as it looks, although anytime you're using a skate, you're taking a high risk. I think he is trying to shove the player off. I would say a 1-game suspension would take care of everything we need.
That's a great motto. This isn't as bad as it looks. the motto of this showdown right now. Thank you for that, Kalashaw. Point Woody Page. We'll move on. Showdown 2. When the $10,000 shot contest does not get you $10,000. This is from the University of Northern Iowa Wednesday night. Dalton Hinch put in an incredible performance, completing the 10,000 shot in 27 seconds. Unfortunately, the insurance rules are it must be completed in 24 seconds with no rebound help. So in the end, he gets $2,000, a free trip to Arch Madness, and some gear. Congratulations, Kalashaw!
Why do they even have a 24-second rule? I mean, if you can make all those shots, give him the money. He was close enough. I mean, the Arch Madness trip, that's a little lame.
Oh, Tim, it's always insurance companies are trying to just rain on our parade. Why not only give him the money, but pay off his student loan? You know that? A trip to St. Louis is not going to do him any good. What was second prize? 2 trips to St. Louis for barbecue bologna?
Oh, Woody, that is how you finish and you knock out. Could be Hall of Famer Tim Kalashaw in showdown. Woody Page, the all-time wins leader. 30 seconds of face time.
This is the second anniversary of the mass shooting, the worst in school history, at Marjorie Stoneham Douglas High School in Florida. And there has been some good to come out of it. The students at that school took action. They went to Washington and protested. But they went to the state legislature, and as a result of their actions, the state legislature in Florida has raised the age before you can buy a gun to 21. But in addition to that, they've improved the security to all the schools in Florida. So as a result of what was such a terrible, terrible tragedy, some good has come out of it. And I think people around the country should look at what those kids in Parkland, Florida really did.
Thank you for that, Woody Page. And I know we have just to your side. Natasha is alma mater is Stoneham Douglas. We thank you. Time takes recovery work.